In our last study, you may recall, Abigail had taken it upon herself to atone for her husband's sin against David and his men. Nabal, her husband, had not only refused to help the men of David in their time of need. Remember, they had gone to the servants of Nabal and asked for food. At one time, the servants, the men of David had protected the servants. You recall back when the Philistines were attacking them on the threshing floor. They were trying to take their food from them. And the men of David came and helped and protected them. In fact, not only did they protect them, they made sure that there did no harm come to men, to the men of the servants of Nabal, nor did they come up missing anything. So they thought it was fair, you know, look, let's go and we need some food. And Nabal said, no, not only did he refuse to help the men in their time of need, he insulted them. He insulted them by calling them runaway servants. Saul, the king of Israel, was chasing after him, trying to kill them for no reason. And this Nabal calls them runaway servants. After his men had returned where David was and told David all that was said, David rose up to bring the house of Nabal to destruction. We took a moment to relate this one who is named Nabal, which signifies fool. We related it to our own state and how, because of our own foolishness and thinking that we have a righteousness of our own that we can call our own, a righteousness that we have earned by our doings, by our works, we were fools to the truth of God. The truth of God is that all flesh is wicked. There is no righteousness except for in Christ. He is our only righteousness. We were fools to the truths of God at one time. In Romans 3:10 it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Abigail, whose name signifies the joy of her father, had gone to David to plead the case for her husband. She offered up herself as a substitute to save the family in the house of Nabal, her loved ones, from the wrath that was coming, the wrath that was deserved. We pondered for just a moment the substitute who stood in our stead, this one who says to the father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. We considered this one who gave himself as our atonement, our blessed Redeemer, our intercessor, our Savior, our substitute, our Abigail. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. And as we can see next, she does not stop until she is successful in her pleas for David to turn aside from his wrath. We'll pick up in verse 26. Now therefore, my Lord, she says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. She takes it for granted that she has gained her point already, perhaps perceiving by David's countenance that he began to change his mind. Maybe his attitude began to change there while she spoke with him. Seeing the Lord hath withholden thee, she says. She depends not upon her own reasonings, but God's grace to affect him. And it would seem that she doubts not, but that the grace would work powerfully upon him. And then she says, let all thy enemies be as Nabal, that is, if thou forbear to avenge thyself, no doubt God will avenge thee on him, as he will on all thy other enemies. Or she could have said it this way, she could have said, it was below him to take a vengeance on so weak and an impotent an enemy as Nabal was, who as he would do him no kindness, so he could do him no hurt. For he needed to wish no more concerning his enemies than that they might be unable to resist him as Nabal was unable to. Perhaps she is also referring to David's sparing of Saul. The story had gotten out that David had spared Saul rather than killing him in the cave. He actually ran out and cried, got down on his hands and knees and cried to Saul saying, forgive me for cutting off a piece of your garment. Perhaps she was referring to that. When but the other day he had him at his mercy. Didst thou forbear to avenge thyself on that lion, that one called Saul, that would devour thee? And wilt thou shed the blood of this dog that can but bark at thee? The very mentioning of what he was about to do, to shed blood and to avenge himself, was enough to work upon such a tender, gracious spirit as that David had. And it should seem by his reply that we will see in verse 33 that it affected him for sure. Continuing on in verse 27, and now this blessing which is thine handmaid hath brought unto the Lord, speaking of the gifts that she had brought with her, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. She makes a little deal of the present that she has brought, this small little gift. But recall that she brought the best of. And she brought flasks of wine. Not water, but wine. She brought stuff for a party, and she made very little of that. But she speaks of it as unworthy of David's acceptance. You know, maybe this isn't good enough for my Lord. And therefore she desires that it may be given to the young men that followed him. And particularly to those 10 that were David's messengers to Nabal, and to whom Nabal had treated so rudely. In verse 28, she says, I pray thee forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. She didn't do anything. Forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. She's taking the responsibility of her home. The other day, I had to deal with a customer. And I wear the uniform FedEx. And the customer was like, oh, you know, I know, you didn't do that. You know, I had some freight that was torn up pretty bad. But I represent FedEx when I wear that uniform. She's representing her family right here before this man. That's what this is all about. Please forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. She applauds David for the good services that he had done against the common enemies of his country, the glory of which great achievements that she had hoped he would not stain by any personal revenge. And that's what this was all about, wasn't it? This is all about somebody who offended David. And we know what that's like, don't we? We know exactly what it's like to have somebody offend us. Oh, man, I've shared this with you the other day. Somebody cuts you off, cuts me off in my big old semi. It just, nothing riles me up faster than that. Oh, how the wrath of the flesh can jump up in front of us so quickly. It's as though she was saying, my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord against the Philistines, and therefore he will leave it to God to fight his battles against those that affront him. Evil has not been found in thee all thy days, she says. Thou never yet didst wrong of any of the countrymen, though persecuted as a traitor. And therefore thou wilt not begin now, nor do a thing which Saul will improve by the justifying of his malice against thee. She doesn't want David to do anything that would prove that what Saul had said was right. Verse 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee, speaking of Saul, and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out, and as the middle of a sling. She foretells of the glorious issue of his present troubles. It is true a man pursues thee, she says, and seeks thy life. But notice she does not name Saul, possibly out of the respect of his present character as king. But she says, thou needest not look with so sharp and jealous an eye upon everyone that affronts thee. She could have said, for all these storms that now ruffle thee with will be blown over shortly. She speaks with assurance in her words. First, by she's assured that God would keep him safe. The soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life, it says, with the Lord thy God. Or in other words, God shall hold thy soul in life, as it is expressed in Psalm 66:9. Let's stop there for just a moment and turn over to Psalm 66, verse 9, and read that. Let's read verses 8, 9, and 10. 66. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us that thou hast tried us as silver is tried. We were speaking about these kind of things this morning, as a matter of fact. With all the stuff that we need to repair and service, it's more than we have at the moment. But our God is providing it as we need it, isn't he? Look what he's done for us with this one unit right here. This is all us. This is all what God has provided for us. We haven't gone outside of this little congregation for anything. And our Lord is providing all that we need. He holds the souls of an in life, and he suffereth not our feet to be moved. That's what she's saying there. And I lost my place. Those for who he has loved from the foundation and the creation are safe, and they may be easy, for we have him as for our protection. He says, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. Secondly, the God speaking of her assurance and what she's saying, secondly, that God would make him victorious over his enemies. Their souls he shall sling out, she says in verse 29. The stone is bound up in the sling, but it is in order to be thrown out again, so that the souls of the godly shall be bundled as the corn in the barn, but the souls of the wicked are as tares for the fire. And then third, that God would settle him in wealth and power. She says, the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, and no enemy that thou hast can hinder it. Therefore, forgive this trespass. Show mercy as you have found mercy. For God will make thee great, and it is the glory of great men to pass by small offenses such as this. Verse 30. And it shall come to pass, she says, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and thou shalt have anointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense to the heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. She desired him, David, to consider how much more comfortable it would be to him in the reflection of this event to have forgiven this affront rather than to revenge it. She reserves this argument for the last as a very powerful one with so good a man, that the less he indulged his passion, the more he has consulted his peace and repose of his own conscience, which every wise man will be tender of. She cannot think that if he should avenge himself, it would afterwards be of grief or an offense of the heart to him. She cannot but think that it should avenge himself. As many have done that very thing in the heat of the moment, which we have 1,000 times wished to be undone again. Have you ever done something you wish you wouldn't have done? In the heat of the moment? Oh, yes. Every head is shaking, yes, we sure have. Oh, how we look back on those things. I wish I'd have had an Abigail tell me, don't worry about that guy who just cut you off. Kathy does that every once in a while when she rides in the car with me. I got my Abigail, but not as often as I'd like to have her. Oh, how often we can look and see this. I relate exactly to this. She cannot but think that if he should avenge himself, it would afterwards be a grief and an offense to his heart. Many have done that very thing in the heat of the moment, which may be 1,000 times wished undone again. The sweetness of revenge is soon turned into bitterness. She is confident that if he passes by this offense, it will be of no grief to him, but on the contrary, it would yield him unspeakable satisfaction that his wisdom and grace had got the better of his passion. Oh, Lord, how I wished you would give me more grace and more wisdom, and that it would overcome my passions. Note that when we are tempted to sin, that we should consider how it will appear in the reflection. Let us never do anything for which we, our own conscience will afterwards have an occasion to upbraid us, which we shall look back upon with regret, which we should look upon and say, my heart shall not reproach me. And then lastly, she recommends herself to his favor. When the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid as one that kept thee from doing that which would disgrace thy honor, that which disquieted thy conscience, that which would have made a blot in thy history. We have good reason to remember those with respect and gratitude who have been instrumental in keeping us from committing the sins that might beset us. Folks, ultimately it is God who turns our hearts away from sin. As we saw last week, we turn from sin because we love our Lord. Why do we love our Lord? Because he first loved us. Why do I want to do what pleases my Lord? It's because my Lord has done something for me that is greater than anything I can ever think of or repay. I love him because he first loved me. Ultimately, it is my God who brings Abigails into my life. John, you may not be thinking that's a sin, but that might give someone else the impression that you're sinning. We spoke about that this morning, didn't we, Daryl? Our attitudes towards the things that we don't do anymore. Are you a holier-than-thou person? Oh, how many Christians are. God's people understand this. We may be worse. The chief of sinners. We might be worse than any of those that we see. How could I be holier than anyone? There's only one person holy. My Lord and Savior. God help me never to get that kind of an attitude. Ultimately, it's God who turns our hearts away from sin, yet as we see here, even the ones we would consider great in the Lord, the ones that we consider great in the Lord, such as maybe Paul, David, Abraham, are they not sinners just as we are? What did they do? They believed God. That was their greatness. Out of everything they did, they believed God. And that is a gift of God. Sometimes our great God brings another child of his in to remind us of his grace for us. Is this not what he's doing this very moment? Is he not bringing the story of Abigail before you this morning to remind you of his grace to you? You and I see stories such as this, and we relate these very things in our own lives. We are reminded that he who is the creator of all things, is gracious to us. Should we not be gracious to others? Leave it in the hands of God. My mom used to always tell me when I would come up against things, John, put it in the hands of God. He'll take care of it. We can put this whole property thing we have right here in the hands of God, and he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it perfectly. Exactly how we need it. Do we not deserve the wrath of God? Yet his wrath was turned on another. Oh, but for the grace of God, there go I. I am the worst offender of these shortcomings. I know what it is to turn to wrath in the heat of the moment. I need Abigails in my life, and happy for the Abigails of my great God, and I'm happy for the Abigails my great God sends my way to turn me when I needed to be turned the most. Amen. Stand with me if you would, please.